Well, Happy New Year for all those who were able to participate in all the various activities from live nativity to Christmas Eve service to worship service. Over the last few weeks, thank you so much for being a part of that. We had a good turnout at the Georgetown property, had a great Christmas Eve service here, and we just thank God for all that He is doing. I want to pray for us, but before I pray for us, I want to give you something to be thinking about this morning as I ask God to speak to us, and that is this. We're already a few days into the new year. And with the new year, so often we desire to begin things, start things, or to stop things so we can start things. Some version of that. But this morning, as I begin to pray for us, I want to ask you if you were to take true inventory of your heart, true inventory of your life this morning, what is it you believe God is stirring in that area of your life of? What does He want to see finished? And what does He want to see begin? What does He want to see healed? What does He want to see left behind? What does He want to give you a fresh vision for? What is He stirring in your life today that He is doing it because He loves you, He cares about you? And it may not be something new, but it might be something fresh. And there's a difference between new and fresh. And so this morning, we're going to deliver God's word to you. And we're praying that God delivers something fresh. So let's pray. Father, it's good to know You never change. Very thankful today, Father, we can count on You. Father, You are the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, You are the beginning and the end. Father, it is good to know today that there is nothing, not a single thing, that we can tell You, put on You, cast upon You, fret with You about, fight with You about, that God is going to overwhelm You. You are so merciful. You're so gracious. You're so full of love. God, you are meeting us where we are right at this very moment. And God, that very moment might be confusion and chaos. God, it might be an order. God, it might be a step that we're just unsure of what to do. But God, we're trusting You with our very lives. God, we're entrusting You with our very existence. Father, I pray today, impress upon us what is stirring. What is stirring upon Your heart. We love You and thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are a few days into this new year, and I want you to know that as we begin this new year together, I am thankful for each one of you. Many of you pray for Kathy and I and our family, and I am very thankful for those prayers. Don't stop them, okay? I'm not asking you to stop. I'm asking you to increase because I want to increase my prayers for you this year. In fact, I would encourage you to go ahead and take out that yellow card if you picked up on the way in to be putting your heart down, how we can be praying with you this week as we pray over those cards each week, because there is no greater privilege, in my opinion, than to share the burdens in prayer, to share burdens spiritually, and at times to share burdens physically and to share emotionally. And this morning, as we look at, I'm going to kind of finish up some of the Christmas story characters as we see a new year with purpose. And it reminds me of something that happened to me a few weeks ago. And I bet you, I guarantee you, there's some of you out there that probably when Dusty or Rick and I start a story about something that's personal, you're probably thinking, is it going to involve me? Cheer up. It might. It might. But it'll be told in love. It'll be told in encouragement. Maybe not in truth, but it'll still be told. But this doesn't involve anybody here. This involves just me. About 3 weeks ago, I went to get my mail, and my driveway is very short, and I live on a cul-de-sac, and a young boy that he new neighbor, he moved in. I'd say he's about 8 or 9. He rolled up in my driveway on his bike, and he dropped the bike, and he came up to me and goes, hey, hey, hey. I mean, literally, he's going, hey, hey, hey. I was like, yeah, man, I see you. You're in my driveway. What's up? He goes, hey, I just want to show you, I got some new playing cards here. They're really cool. And he started naming all these different kinds of cards that he had received recently. And I'm just kind of going along. I'm a professional. So I'm like, yeah, I've been married a long time. That's good. That's interesting. All right. And so I'm kind of going along for a while. What's all the ooh and the ah for? Okay. I'm not telling stories on your marriage. I'm telling stories on mine. Okay. And so this probably went on for about 10 minutes, and I'm slowly kind of just walking along, and I'm kind of thinking, God, what is this? What is this? What's going on here? Okay, I just came to get the mail. this little dude, he rode up. He's got one of those bike helmets that's got the spikes and all this kind of stuff. And he's telling me all this, and I'm kind of walking into my garage, and he says these words to me, and I keep telling you that God has a sense of humor. And this was God's sense of humor. Because he looks at me and he says, hey, the next time you see this bike in your driveway through that window, I want you to come out. Man. So, me being the super spiritual, non-sarcastic person I am, when I see you through that window, he goes, yeah, when you see me through that window, I want you to come out here so I can show you some more cards. He hasn't been in my driveway since, but I've seen him on the street, and I'm looking out the window waiting for that bike to be in the driveway because somehow I feel like God's going to tell him I'm looking and not coming out. I wonder how many of us today, God is simply saying, you see me, you know me, right here, right now. Let's go through this life together. Will you seek me to be found by me because I'm willing to be found? And we're a few days into a new year. And I believe that tomorrow, many of you, or over this next week, you'll go back into a routine that there's some variation of what I'm getting ready to say. You're okay with it. You dread it. You have to do it. You can't avoid it. You look forward to it. Or you're really not sure what the next week's hope. And I want you to know that this morning, I am trusting God to speak to your heart about a now in your life. I don't know what it is, but I've been praying throughout this week that God would speak to us, me included, that God would speak to you about something right now. And that's why I titled this message, New Year with Purpose. I know so often in our culture that we see or read or hear a lot about discovering your purpose or discovering your calling, as if it's something that if we had the treasure map, that maybe we could find the treasure. I want you to know that seeking your purpose isn't just a place that's a destination. It is the journey. It's an embracing a God that wants to go with you. And today I want to look at the conclusion of some Christmas parts of the story, the Christmas story. So let's look at some scripture here this morning as we look at the new year with purpose. These are all familiar, but I want to point out something after I read the three of them to you. The shepherds, Luke 2:20, went back to their flocks glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So this first verse we see the shepherds had seen the baby Jesus in the manger, but they had to do something. They had to go back to their lives. They didn't get to stay at the manger with the baby. They had to go back to living life. They had to go back to work. They had to go back with dealing with those fellow shepherds. They had to go back to dealing with their sheep. They had to go back. Matthew 2:10-12, these are the Magi. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and he gave them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They delivered the gifts to the young Jesus, maybe a toddler by this time, but they had to do something. They had to go back to from where they came. They had to go back to living life. They had to go back with this caravan to do whatever they had been doing after they had been in the presence, the flesh and blood presence of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. So we see the shepherds had to go back. We see the Magi had to go back. And then we see Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus. In the next scripture, it says in Matthew 3:13-19-20, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is after the Magi were with them, by the way. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. But after Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus had to go back to Israel. They actually ended up in Nazareth, where Joseph would settle his family, become a carpenter, and teach Jesus about being a carpenter. But they had to go back. How many of you this morning, that you're not looking forward to 2020. You're looking forward to something that might change in 2020, but the fact is, you know you got to go back to the routine. You got to go back to the life that you were living in 2019, and you're really not sure that a lot's going to change. In fact, if you are really honest with yourself before God today, the change that you're hoping for, you have doubts it will take place. Whatever it might be. Because you're going back to something that's familiar. You're going back to try to find something that you may have already been missing or feel like there's a hole in, you're not really sure of. But I'm telling you today that God is speaking out of love to your heart. And He's saying, when you see my bike in this driveway and you look out that window and you see me here, I want you to know I'm here for you. That I have not left you, I've not forsaken you, I've not abandoned you. Wouldn't you have loved, I love reading the Christmas story, but my curiosity always wonders, what were the conversations on the way back? What were the conversations like among the Magi and their caravan, traveling probably hundreds of miles? Joseph and Mary having to go to Egypt with a young toddler-like Jesus. Hundreds of miles to Egypt, hanging out there for a while, and then having to go back to a land. A land that they may have known the address to, but life held uncertainty. And what I want to challenge you with this morning, it's what I'm challenging, one of the things I'm challenging myself with this morning is this, is that God has a right now, right here purpose for your life and my life. As point number one says, God has a right now, right here purpose. The purpose didn't end for the shepherds at a manger nor in a field. They had a story to tell, a story to share, a life worth living. At the characters, we see a lot of moving around. We see that when they're moving from point A to point B and back to some other point back home, that movement, part of their life story was that God had a purpose in the movement, in the shifting, in the changing, in the uncertainty. That God still had a purpose in all that. I struggle so often myself with thinking that if I could just discover purpose, then I'll be good. And when I realize that along the way, that God has Him to be discovered. Do you realize the greatest precious thing that God is offering you in the year 2020 is Himself? Him. Himself. In all His fullness. He's not holding back. He's not holding out. In fact, He's not even capable of doing that. God may have many places to take you this year. And God may have many ways to get you there. But do you understand that He's not sending you ahead and He's not lagging behind? He's walking in step with you. There is no uncertainty in heaven. Why should that bring you comfort and peace? Because if I have trusted Him with eternity, then I think I can trust Him with this Sunday. I think I can trust Him. Let me tell you something. Christmas break did not go like, I had loose plans, but Christmas break definitely didn't go anything like I thought. On Christmas Eve, I came down with the flu. So I've spent the last week or so having the flu. Basically, what that means for me is trying to rest, trying to not fight, wanting to do something else that I had planned to do with such great, you know, vigor that just sit down, Dane. And let your body heal. But you know, in the middle of that, you know, God had a couple, a few little taps on the shoulder and says, hey, Dan, why don't we do some time together? Dan, why are you looking at this as an aggravation or irritation? Why don't you look at it as opportunity? And like myself can be, hey, God, I didn't want this opportunity. God said, will you take advantage of this opportunity? And so over the last week or so, just doing some things and trying to get to feeling better and doing those things, I've asked myself, am I spending my energy on changing circumstances? Or am I spending my energy on allowing God to change me? In this new year, God has a right now, right here purpose. I'm not talking about Monday. I'm talking about Sunday morning. God has a right now, right here purpose. The purpose started long before the Magi reached that house. It started long before the shepherds left the field. It started long before. In fact, it had started in eternity past. That's one of the reasons why we look at the prophecies of the Old Testament about everything that lined up, to see that God had a purpose that was long established before the human side joined him in what he was doing around Bethlehem and in Egypt. That God was up to many things. So think about something. God has been establishing your purpose long before you became a human being on this planet. God has been establishing things for you to engage him with and to join him with. But I ask you, how much energy are you spending on trying to change those things in your life that God has not intended for you to change just yet? That he is working in your life to bring you into an alignment with him so the things around you, you can see from his perspective. God has a right now, right here purpose. Number two, purpose is ongoing. I've already alluded to this a little bit. Obedience is about steps. We must not make it the destination. There's an order to the steps, though, and much faith is required to allow God to order these steps. I challenge you this year, be persistent, be consistent, and be faithful what God has placed within your hands. Be faithful with what God has placed within your hands. Prepare daily for divine appointments and divine opportunities. Ask God to show you how he's working and how you can join him. Purpose is ongoing. Take inventory of what opportunities that you took advantage of last year and how you're going to build on those opportunities this year. Where did God grow you last year that he wants to continue to grow you this year? Maybe you dealt with some unforgiveness in your life, and this year God is saying, good job, now let's get rid of the bitterness and the malice and the anger that was dealing with all that unforgiveness of last year. Where has God been touching your heart so you can love with a pure love? Not a love that's partial or sorta or kinda or in the mood I'm going to love, but you're going to love unconditionally. Purpose is ongoing. We don't even know how old the caravan of the Magi were. We don't even know how old the shepherds were. In fact, I find this very interesting. Just my curiosity speaking out loud to you, okay? That if anybody that wrote those Gospels, I have no doubt, they knew their names of the Magi, and they probably knew the names of the shepherds. And they may have known the name of some other, they may have known the name of the innkeeper. Bethlehem is a very small town. Okay, it's a good old boy kind of mentality. Okay, they knew each other really well. Okay, it's kind of like a reality show of Bethlehem. They knew each other. I find it very interesting that no gospel writer tells us any of their names. And not to over-spiritualize this, but I think you and I can insert our stories at any given moment into any of those characters. That what is God asking you to offer him as a gift in 2020? What is God asking you to praise him for that you may not even desire to praise him for like the shepherds? Do you think the shepherds glorified and praised God because they knew the whole story? They knew what was right in front of them. And right in front of them was a miracle. And they praised God and they worshiped him for that right there. But it says they went back glorifying God. Can you go back this week glorifying God? Can you go back to honoring him? Can you go back to loving him? Can you go back to loving him without strings attached? To discover this purpose that you and I have from a high calling called God Almighty, let's embrace that it's ongoing. That it's a now component, but there's an ongoing component in our lives. Maybe you've already fallen behind with things that you want to change this year. You know, one of the cool things, too, about all those characters in the story, I find, is this. You had the high people, the Magi, that probably had significant wealth. And then you had the lowly people. And then you had the blue-collar Joseph, the carpenter, the young woman. That at those moments of history, no one really knew their name. It doesn't matter so much as to where we are at this moment. But are we teachable? Are we faithful? And are we available in this moment? Are we willing to lay aside some predetermined label that we've labeled ourselves with and walk in the truth of who God says we are? Does this solve all of our problems today? Nope. But you need a starting point. And some of you have labeled yourself for years incorrectly. In fact, one of the reasons why, as we're a few days into the new year, one of the reasons why that you've already struggled is because you took the same lives from 2019 and you've decided to bag them up and carry them with you. And God has said, why don't you just cast those burdens of garbage upon me and let me replace them with my truth and let me touch the tender spots and let's do some real healing. God is very, very desirous to heal you emotionally. God is very desirous to renew your mind. God is very desirous today to show you that He has not left you, He has not forsaken you, and that your purpose in His kingdom is very, very, very valuable. Let me ask you a question, though. What changes in your life must occur on the most minuscule scale to realize that last truth, or the first truth, or the second truth, the most insignificant scale? You know, I don't always use it, but I've had a gym membership for quite a few years. But I love showing up at the gym that first couple of weeks of January just to see if there's some new cars in the parking lot. Okay? Just to see if there's some other people in the gym that, because I kind of go at the same time, so I kind of know the, I at least know the faces. I don't know their names necessarily. But then I think to myself sometimes, what would I do to encourage them to stay at it when they don't see results immediately? What would I do? What would I say to someone if I really knew it was their first time there and that they've really struggled with their self-esteem, their value, their worth, but by golly, they got this year, they're going to give it everything they've got. What would I really say to them? And I do ask myself that question because I'm expecting a divine appointment. But then I turn the tables. Dane, what do you say that I would say about you when you don't see change that you want to see happen? And so I have these ongoing conversations. And one of them I tell myself, and this may not help you guys at all, but it's something that I feel like God says to me is this. When you can't see change, Dane, I see change in your heart. I see change in your mindset. I see change in your thought pattern. I see change in your life. And then I say, God, can you just show me what sometimes that can look like out in the real world? Can you just show me? I just need a glimpse, God. I need some encouragement today. Is there a purpose to keep going? Or should I just sit down and quit? And God is good. God is good in so many ways to me. Because then something might happen where God says, you see how you exerted some patience there? You see how you saw past the circumstance to see the possibilities of what I'm doing in your life and through you? And I say, praise be to God. Purpose, God has one right now, right here, but it is ongoing. And the third one, God's purpose for your life is God's purpose for your life. God's purpose for your life is God's purpose for your life. Don't wait on someone else to live your purpose for your life. Embrace what God is saying to you. No more conversations about ifs and buts. No more conversations about, I wish, I wanna. Conversations of certainty. You know one of your greatest stealers of joy, your thieves of joy, is comparison of somebody else's purpose. We live in a world of comparison. I acknowledge that. But I draw a line in the sand that says, I'm not going to compare somebody else's purpose to my purpose. Because I don't want to miss the fulfillment of knowing God intimately in my purpose. Where God has a desire to be intimate with me as I fulfill my purpose. God's purpose for your life is God's purpose for your life. Discovery of your purpose with what God's doing in your life, it's worth the risk. It can be risky at times. It can be unknown. Do you really think the shepherds and the magi knew what in the world they were totally getting themselves into? I don't think they had much of a clue at all. All they knew was this. There was a star, and there was this band of magi and their caravan of who all was with them, and they were going to see a king. The shepherds, hey, we got to leave the stinking sheep behind and go worship God with us, Emmanuel, for a few brief moments. But was it life-changing? It was bigger than we can possibly imagine. to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the flesh. But God's desire for you this year is to experience Him for the fullness of who He is. God's purpose for your life is God's purpose for your life. But part of that is being willing to take the risk and step out in faith. Say, God, I just want to know You. God, I want to hunger and thirst for You. I want you to look at those three for a second. And I want you to think about your life right now in this very, very moment. I'm going to ask you, there's going to be some other things I'm going to put up there, but before we go to those questions, I want to ask you this. What is choking the life out of your living right now? What is choking the life out of your living right now? I said this a few minutes ago. I'll say it again. I would have loved to have known the rest of the story because I'm a curious kind of person. And I think some of you are curious too. And you can read all kinds of theories about the Magi. You can go online and read for hours about that. But each day, I get to choose. I get to choose. Do I really believe the truth about who God says He is and who He says I am? And that's why I ask you this morning, what in your life is choking out the living? What is it that you wring your hands, you frustrate, you fret, that causes you to lose sleep, that you have absolutely no control over? None. Zero. None. And God is saying, will you seek Me? Because I'm willing to be found. And so I leave you with these three questions, or I should say statements. Go ahead and put the statements up, John. And then I'm going to read the verse. I'm challenging you to ask God to increase your desire to know Him. I'm not talking about facts. I'm not talking about information. Not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about knowing Him. Ask God for an increase of your faith. Of increase of your faith. And ask God for renewal. I love this verse from Psalm 63, 3 through 5. For Your tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. How I love and praise You, God. Daily I will worship You passionately and with all my heart. My arms will wave to You like banners of praise. You know, I've read that verse a bunch now, getting ready. You know what I picture? I picture me acting stupid, going, over here, over here, over here. And God saying, I know exactly where you are. I'm waving my arms, Dane, so you can see where I am. My arms will wave to you like banners of praise. I overflow with praise when I come before You, for the anointing of Your presence satisfies me like nothing else. You are such a rich banquet of pleasure to my soul. You know what? That's a verse worth keeping in front of you for a while. That's a verse that should excite the very depths of your heart when that is written. That is not written from an angle of, what do I get? That's written from a heart of, who do I get? Who do I get? I get the living God. The right now, right here purpose. The purpose for your life. The purpose that's ongoing. It totally involves Him. Totally involves you. Totally involves everything He knows about you and has invested in you. This year is an opportunity to invest in your relationship with Him and His kingdom. He's not going to disappoint you in the least. He's not going to disappoint you. Which does make me think of one more story that does involve somebody in the congregation. All right, about 3 weeks ago, Kathy and I took Logan Patrick to look at Christmas lights, which for those who don't know, that's James and Stephanie's 4-year-old son. And so we go to look at Christmas lights. And Logan Patrick decides that he wants some donuts. Well, shoot, that sounds good to me. Let's go get some donuts. So we roll up to Dunkin' and we get some Dunkin' Minis, the little munchkin things. And he wants chocolate. Sounds good to me. Looking at Christmas lights, we had the whole smorgasbord, by the way. We got Firehouse, Taco Bell, and Dunkin' Donuts. We decided we were going to end this year with a bang on the diet of gluttony. Okay? So he's sitting in the back seat. We hand him some chocolate donuts, and literally 30 seconds maybe go by. He hands the donuts back. The little joker had licked all the icing off of them and not taken a single bite. I tell you. Oh, man. Someone asked me when I told my story, did you eat them? I said, heck no, I didn't eat them. I threw them out the window. Because here's the thing. Not only had he licked the icing off of them, I mean, he had licked all the icing off of them. Okay? But the thing that struck me was this, amongst a lot of things that night. It was as if he had done it with, this is normal. This is what to be. When you handed me the donuts, Dane, this is the way I was going to do when you handed them to me to begin with. What are you handing God? Don't be afraid to hand him everything. And I do mean everything today. I mean it all. Every ounce of faith that you can muster to hand you to him. Let's pray. Father, in these next few brief moments together, what are you saying? What are you stirring, Father? You have those cards in front of you or with you. And by the way, if you didn't grab a card now and you want to get one later, that's fine. You can fill it out. All of our phone numbers, Dusty and Rick and I, they're on our website. You can call us or text us during the week at any given moment. And I always say this to the people that I tell can just text me at any given moment of the day. You can just simply text the word, pray. I don't need a long explanation. I'll trust God with the details. Father, I pray this morning that we're not holding back to some unknown future, but we're surrendering to a known God, a very personally known God. What's God saying to you this morning? What's God speaking to you? Guys will be up here, and Rick and Regina will be up here, and Dusty and I will be up here if you want to come pray. Our altar is open. You can bring your cards and your envelopes this time. I'm just asking you to relax and be in tune to what God's saying, and you don't have to understand all of it. I'm just asking you to embrace the fact that he is speaking. The altar is open. Put this before you, Father. Amen. River flows, joy. The next few moments, there is a basket by the back as you're leaving, if you'd like to drop them in there. Father, let's just bless you today. Let's just honor you. As we leave this place, we are blessed to be a blessing. May where we go, we speak life. May we be imparters of life. May we be tellers of the good news. Father, I pray today, guard our tongues, guard our eyes, guard our minds, guard our hearts, guard our bodies. Lord, I praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you guys.